Hello, hockey fans. It is Tuesday, February 20th, 2018, and we are here for episode 21 in the first season of the AHL Report's premier podcast from the press box. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Amy Johnson, the lead correspondent here at the AHL Report. And of course, I'm joined every week by my fabulous co-host, the founder of Rocket Sports Media and the editor-in-chief of all of our brands of magazines, including the AHL Report, Mr. Rick Stevens. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Did you say episode 21?
I said episode 21.
Wow.
I know.
And I bet there were some good ones in there, too.
There were.
There were some very good ones. If I want to catch up, I just want to sit back and have a Sunday afternoon, I want to breeze through all the back episodes.
We got to work on your shameless self-promotion pitch. Why, then, of course, they could go. Anyone could go to AHL.report online, and you'll find all of our podcast episodes there. You just search for From the Press Box, and they all magically appear.
Better Netflix. Just go there and, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Especially Canadian Netflix, which sucks.
Well, yeah, it's different. We'll say it's different.
So go to AHL.report instead.
We like it. So much content there. Podcasts, videos, articles, game recaps. You can't go wrong. Really,
exactly.
You can't. And you can't go wrong with the lineup we have for you today, Rick. We've got an interesting show today. We're going to spend probably a little more time than we normally do on the Laval Rocket. Not that we ever really rush through our Rocket review, but not only do we want to talk about the three games that they played at home last week, but we're going to break down some other aspects. You know, there were some shuffling around of personnel on the roster last week. We're going to talk a little bit about the pros and cons, or what was good and what was kind of with those kinds of things. Want to talk a little bit, not going to go too at length. We'll try to keep our soapboxes short, but we're going to talk about just the AHL in general as a development league, and what Sylvain Lefebvre and his coaching staff, the strides that they have made in developing players in this system. We're going to talk a little bit about a contract that was awarded last week, that was signed last week, which was very exciting. And of course, take a look at the Rockets week ahead, and kind of give a preview of what's coming up later on this week for the Laval Rocket. Then, of course, we're going to switch gears over to the AHL in general. We'll talk about the player of the week. We have some news regarding the 2019 AHL All-Star Classic weekend. We can't wait to share that. We do have a very brief look at a kind of like an abbreviated where are they now, and we have a pretty cool top five this week, and I have to give a little stick tap to my co-host Rick Stevens for coming up with this week's top five, and it's going to be pretty fun. It's our top five hockey names, because everybody knows that, you know, there's just some names that you hear, oh, that's a hockey guy, or maybe it's a funny name that you're like, how is that guy a hockey player? Or, you know, lots of different things we can explore there. So you won't want to miss that towards the end of the show.
And a bit of podcast experimentation, where my two personal favorite segments are Where Are They Now and the Top Five. So this week, given that I was able to suggest the topic for the top five, I'm going to try to, it's going to work. I'm going to meld the two. I'm going to meld Where Are They Now in the top five, a bit of an amalgam. Synergistic top five and Where Are They Now. It's an experiment. You're going to want to be there for it.
What are you on this week? What did you take before the show that you didn't obviously share?
Well, isn't it National Cherry Pie Day? You know, my favorite is cherry pie.
In the United States, it is.
Well, we borrow your traditions.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. It is National Cherry Pie Day. I'm not surprised that the person who apparently, as has been told on this podcast in past episodes of Top 5, has proclaimed cherry pie as the greatest dessert on the planet. I'm not surprised that you are well informed of what the national day to celebrate said dessert is.
Mm-hmm. I only know two national days, and that's the cherry pie one and the popcorn day. The rest of them, yeah.
Those are pretty good ones. Those are important ones to know.
Or National Cheeseburger Day would be fine, too.
That'd be okay. French Fry Day is pretty good.
Mm.
Why am I hungry now? Anyway, you're all here to hear about some hockey, and so let's get to that. We want to kick things off with our Rocket review for last week. And, Rick, we talked last week. We had Joseph Whalen, our staff writer and head league correspondent, covering the Belleville Senators on with us last week because we were previewing Belleville Senators versus the Laval Rocket at home at Place Belle in Laval. And it was Valentine's Day, and the Rocket must have been feeling the love because they actually spectacularly, not only did they get a win, they got a win on home ice, which was, it's just unheard of this season. It's quite spectacular. And I'm sure that the crowd was pretty pleased with that. It wasn't a blowout. They won that one 3-2, but it was a great way to start their homestand, especially since they've struggled so much at home and coming off of two disappointing losses on the road that should have gone their way. And so then that took them into Friday and Saturday, where they would be playing Hershey and Toronto, which not easy opponents. Hershey hasn't been as strong as they have been in past years, but still tough opponents. And they dropped these games as well. It seems to be the pattern. We win a game, and then they lose a couple of games. The game against Hershey was close heading into second intermission. They were only down 3-2, and then three unanswered goals by Hershey in the third, including a hat trick for Travis Boyd in the game, which is never a good thing. And then turned around on Saturday with Toronto and lost 4-2 to Toronto. Again, that was a game against Toronto. They led for two periods. They were up 2-1 at the end of the second period. And then Toronto tied it up to kick off the third and then put two more in. So again, second consecutive day of three unanswered goals in the third period. So the question is, you know, I feel like we keep coming back to they get the win, and then they have losses where they should have won, and third period collapses where it seems, you know, they all know that they need to play that 60 complete minutes of hockey, but it seems that when they struggle and when they lose, it's either because they're not coming out strong in the first and they're playing well for the last 40 minutes of the game, or vice versa, they play really well for the first 40 minutes and then something happens and there's a collapse in the third period. So I don't know. I mean, how do they find a way to get some consistency and play that 60 minutes that they know that they need to play?
That's tough. That's really tough. And particularly against Hershey, as you said, they're not having a very good year. That game hurt. You know, leading after two periods and losing both of those games, those are the kind of losses that really sting. And again, at home, two more home losses. It's probably it's too late to figure it out in a meaningful way to affect the standings. They have to figure, you know, determine what the problem is, what the if it's an issue of confidence, and it may be that when one goal, we see that at the Canadians level, when they give up one, they give up multiple goals. And maybe that's what's happening in the third, that they, the way that they're playing and their confidence is undercut, and it goes from there. But there's, it's not just one. You had mentioned Joseph Whalen, and he did a pretty good job previewing the game. And one of the things that he mentioned last week was special teams, and the fact that the Senators take a lot of penalties. He mentioned that both the Senators and the Rocket have been poor on the penalty kill. What he didn't predict was that the Rocket would get two shorthanded goals in that game, and those goals were the difference.
That's right.
The game. But it did come down to special teams. So special teams is something they need to work on. Consistency and confidence is something they need to work on. Just with the remaining games, I think they have to, I think they're acknowledging now that playoffs are out of the question, and that there are period by period goals that they have to achieve. And consistency is one of those things.
Absolutely. Now, granted, it's easy to focus on those losses, and it's never easy to kind of get past those, but there were some, as you say, there's things that they need to focus on to finish the season strong and feel good about the way they're finishing the season, one shift at a time, one period at a time, one game at a time. And there were some things that were positive that came out of those three games. You mentioned the two shorthanded goals in the game against Belleville for a penalty kill that has struggled consistently for the entire season and is currently ranked near the bottom of the league. To get two shorties in one game in consecutive periods was pretty uplifting, I think, for their bench. There were also some players, as we've mentioned, because there are so many injuries right now, there are other players who are stepping up and having to fill in spots and getting an opportunity to make a name for themselves. And a few of those guys really stepped in this week. Kyle Bond had a goal on Wednesday. It's not always easy for him to get on the score sheet, but he had a nice goal. Luc Olivier-Blaine, who was a call up from Brampton the previous week, had an assist in the Belleville game, got his first AHL goal against Hershey. Granted, it was, it was late in the third period. The game was lost at that point, but to his credit, got his first AHL goal that night, and actually had a goal and an assist against Hershey. And so he was making an impact. Another person, Antoine Wakeid, went from consistently being right wing on the fourth line to, by the end of the weekend, he was promoted to second line left wing with McCarron and Eisenschmidt, because Wednesday he had an assist. He had a goal on Friday, and I believe he had another goal on Saturday as well. That second line was doing very well. McCarron had a decent weekend as well. He had a goal and assist on Saturday. Eisenschmidt was right in there with all of those things. So there were some positive looks. There were some good things that were happening. One good thing that I know we've discussed plenty throughout the season, which was nice to finally see, was that, I believe it was on Saturday, we finally saw Parisi and Juulsen paired back together again, which they've not been together for a little while. They were paired together again, but this time they were the top pairing. And that was nice to see them come together. You've been a strong proponent of that pairing since the beginning of, since Juulsen came back and the two of them started playing together. And it was nice to see them get the nod on the top pairing.
Yeah, I you know, to borrow a phrase from another podcast, from the Radar segment is a podcast that Habs Unfiltered do. Parisi is a Tom Parisi is an under the radar kind of player that not many fans know about. He is without question the best passer bar none on the Rocket. He's also I'll have to check the figures, but he takes a lot of shots. He's up there as in, he's probably number two overall, for the defenseman in terms of shots. And he's smart. He plays really smart and he's a great influence on, Noah Juulsen. And, you know, we saw the two of them matched up, right back to the playoffs, last year in Syracuse. And I said, this is a good pairing. They really complement each other nicely, and it's good to see them back together again and getting, you know, decent minutes, both of them on the top pairing.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to, I have that statistic that you were looking for. Parisi is third overall on the team for shots at 109 shots so far this season. Only second in as far as the defensive core to Eric Gelina, who has 126. Chris Terry, of course, has the top amount of shots at 142. But Parisi is right there at 109. The next defenseman under him is Tormina at 88. So that it's not even close there. So as you
and
say,
Tormina getting a lot more ice time than
that's
Parisi.
Right. That's right. So yes, he does he shoots the puck quite a bit.
Yeah, for him to be third on the team overall, that's you know, ahead of a good number of forwards. That's saying a lot.
The only forward ahead of him is Chris Terry. So it's all forwards except for Chris Terry have less shots this season than Tom Parisi does. So. Yeah, it was good to see them together again. You know, I didn't think the defense was terrible on Saturday. As I said, they were leading the game after two periods. So we'll see if Sylvain Lefebvre decides to maintain that top pairing going into this weekend's games. For that game, Eric Gelina was down on the second pairing with Brett Laurent out. And there were also some roster moves as well. On Sunday, Chris Levaille and Matt Petgrave were sent back down to Brampton. Now today, just a few hours ago, and Zach Fucali had also been sent back down to Brampton, I'm assuming to play some games over the weekend. Fucali has been recalled back to the Rocket now today, and Petgrave has been re-signed to a new PTO today. So it looks like Petgrave's back, Levaille's not. Not sure what that means. There are some, as far as injuries go, Chris Terry is still out, Yannick Veilla is still out, Nicky Petty is still out, Matt Tarmina is still out. There are some rumblings that Veilla and Terry might be available for this coming weekend's games. We don't have anything definitive on that yet, and I'm sure that will of course determine where some other things fall into place as far as the lineup, but should be interesting. And their week ahead this week, they'll be, guess what, back in Utica again on Friday. which,
hey,
we know is,
have you seen those? The Utica Comets are on a tear.
They are
on
an
absolute
tear. Well, and I also, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the past 16 games, they have not lost in regulation. That was the kind of, you remember when they were were neck and neck with the Rocket and said, one, you know, the Rocket need to go on a tear to get themselves into contention. Well, that's exactly what
Utica
has done. And they're now second in the North Division, but you know, won 9 out of the last 10 and 13 out of 16. And like I say, no regulation losses in their last 16 games. That's incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Now, I did notice, and the Rocket, they're going into their building on Friday night, which every player and the coaches will tell you, they know it's always hard to play in their building. It's a small building, but it's loud. I did happen to see today, and I will, let me just reconfirm it to make sure that I didn't see it incorrectly, but I do believe that, yes, Richard Bachman has been called up by the Canucks. So that likely means they'll face Thatcher Demko on Friday.
It's no picnic either way.
But we'll see how that goes. So they play in Utica on Friday night. We, the AHL report team, will be in Utica covering that game live. And then the Rocket head out of Utica that night and they head back to Canada to play a game in Belleville on Saturday night. And so it's just a short 2-game, 2-night road trip for them. It'll be interesting to see how they perform with that. Speaking of personnel, one thing that we just wanted to touch on that actually kind of was breaking news just as we were wrapping up last week's podcast, so we didn't really have time to talk about it, but wanted to at least give a tip of the hat and mention that Charlie Lindgren has signed a 3-year contract extension with the Montreal Canadiens. This is a 3-year one-way deal that will keep him with the club through the 2021 season. So this is a tremendous news for Charlie Lindgren, tremendous news for the Habs. This will seal up their goaltending with Carey Price for the next 3 years. Lindgren is all but guaranteed at this point to be Carey's backup starting in the fall. And Rick, I just can't say enough about the hard work that this young man has put in on top of his just natural talents and abilities and skills, but just the hard work and couldn't have happened to a better goaltender.
To a better goaltender and a better human being. He's just a really genuine, one of the really genuine good guys in hockey. His demeanor is perfect for goaltending. And let's remind ourselves that Charlie Lindgren had a lot of suitors. He was a free agent and chose the Montreal mm-hmm. Canadiens because he wanted to come and learn from Carey Price, wanted to
That's right.
From Stefan Waite. That was a decision he made. And, even his contract that he signed, probably for less money than if he had, taken a month to negotiate or so. It's a great deal for the Canadiens. And now the Canadiens have... this season they shipped El Montoya to Edmonton. He had the 2-year contract. Antti Niemi will be done at the end of this season and won't be re-signed. And so they cleared the decks for Lindgren. I think it was 10 games or thereabouts that he played in the NHL kind of sealed
11,
the deal. And he put his stamp on that he is an NHL goaltender and can handle that pressure and perform very well. So great news for him. And who knows? There's lots of things can happen at the trade deadline, and we may be seeing players like Lindgren, players like other players plucked off the roster to fill holes. As the Canadians are sellers at the trade deadline, so for sure we'll see him in the NHL next season and maybe even earlier than that.
Absolutely. So congratulations to Charlie Lindgren. Fantastic news for him for that 3-year contract extension, and it's only going to get better for him from here.
And he was first star in that Belleville game that we were talking about earlier.
Yes, he was. He played very well that night. But Charlie Lindgren is just one of a pretty hefty group of guys that Sylvain Lefebvre and his coaches and his assistant coaches have helped to develop in St. John's and in Laval, and even prior to that, Lefebvre was in Hamilton with the when the Canadiens had the Bulldogs. And there's been a lot of, Nikita Sherbak has really started to come into his own in the NHL. We won't spend a lot of time on that here. If you want to hear talk about Nikita Sherbak, I suggest you listen to Habs 360 on Saturdays when Rick and Chris G really break down what the Canadiens are doing. But for Laval Rocket fans, for St. John's Ice Caps fans, they all know the talent that Nikita Sherbak has been able to display in the AHL. It took time due to maturity, due to development, due to recovery from injuries for that talent and skill to transition into the NHL and be put in the proper positions to succeed when he was in the NHL. And he's really coming into his own. And so now suddenly everyone, there's this conversation going on social media that, Bronx cheer and a slow clap for Sylvain Lefebvre. He's developed one player in his tenure. Well, Rick, I know you and I both know that's nonsense. And Lindgren is just another example of a player who Sylvain Lefebvre has helped develop. We should talk just a little bit about the purpose of the American Hockey League and the fact that it is a development league. The coaches know that, the players know that, and for the most part, fans know that as well. You can't ever really get too attached to any particular players on your AHL team because the likelihood is that they're going to not be there for very long. And as far as the Canadiens AHL affiliate has gone over the last 5 years or so, there's a whole heck of a lot of talent that has come through the farm team and come through the system with Sylvain Lefebvre and his assistants at the helm, churning out some really good hockey talent and helping them get on their way in their NHL careers.
Yeah, I wonder how much fans truly understand about the purpose of the AHL. I understand that the Canadiens fans are mad. They're just angry right now, and they're looking to place blame where they can. And there's plenty of blame that should be directed mostly at the top of the organization, whether it's the owner and president, whether it's the general manager, or whether it's the NHL coaching staff. But many fans are quick to point fingers at Sylvain Lefebvre and his crew without really understanding what they're there for. The first thing they say is, well, look at his record. Look at how many playoff games they've played in. And that's just almost irrelevant. It's, playoff experience is nice, but not at the expense. Many teams I can name them, I won't, sacrifice their development for wins and playoff appearances in the AHL. Mm-hmm. And soon it catches up to them, Hershey Bears. And, and it becomes a problem, an organizational problem. Fans should understand that the AHL playoffs or playing an AHL playoff game isn't the first time that many of these guys have played a playoff game, whether it be in or let's say just a game of intensity, whether it's World Juniors, whether it's playing in junior hockey, whether it's college hockey, whatever it is, these guys have some experience being in intense games. So if you can get that playoff experience, it's nice. It is. It really is. But it's not the primary focus. The primary focus of the AHL squad, of the AHL coaching staff, is to prepare players to play in the NHL. That's it. Wins are secondary to that. I'm sorry, but even when you have a nice, shiny new building that you want to bring fans in, it's wins are secondary to developing your prospects and preparing them to play in the NHL. When you're dealing with prospects and teams who are successful with prospects have a three-pronged kind of process, organizational philosophy around their prospect plan. They have to be good in selection. That's making good draft choices, a good team like Trevor Timmons and the Canadians have. You have to be good in the development and preparation for the NHL, which is the AHL team for the most part. And the third part, which many people forget about in dealing with your prospects, is the transition to the NHL. And this is where the Canadians have fallen down time and time again, no matter if it's Michel Therrien or Claude Julien, or it's Marc Bergevin who's got an itchy trigger finger to trade away those prospects so that mm-hmm. they make the transition to the NHL, but not with the Montreal Canadiens. So I guess not to belabor this, but I was tired of hearing, you know, that the AHL component was the one to blame, the weakest link, so to speak, of the development chain, the prospect plan. So I went through and I looked at the number of alumni from the Hamilton Bulldogs, from the Laval Rocket, from the St. John's Ice Caps, teams coached by Sylvain Lefebvre, and let's mention the other names because they're key components too. Donald Dufresne,
they are.
Nick Carrière, Marco Marciano, the assistant coaches. And you know what I found? That this season, this is a subset of the people that they've coached and they've graduated, but of their alumni, 22 players have played a game in the NHL this year. So if their role is to prepare players for the NHL, it would seem to me that they're succeeding. And their alumni have included players like Brendan Gallagher, Charles Hudon, Jacob De La Rose, Daniel Carr, Charlie Lindgren, who you mentioned played 11 games. All of those players have been prepared by the AHL coaching staff. And then there's players who we don't think of because they've gone elsewhere, like a second-pairing defenseman for Dallas in Greg Patterson, like a first- or second-pairing defenseman in Buffalo like Nathan Beaulieu, like a second-line forward like Sven Andrighetto, second-pairing defenseman in Colorado, Mark Barberio, Peter Holland, who just got a goal the other night with the Rangers, Michael Bournivel in Tampa Bay, Mike Condon in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Redmond has been in the Buffalo lineup this year. All of these players have been trained and prepared for the NHL, 22 in all, this season alone, by the AHL coaching staff. So look elsewhere when you're looking to blame for the prospect plan. I think you come closer to the mark when you look at the NHL coaches and the NHL GM, who's been controlling a lot of the and putting obstacles in the way of a lot of these prospects.
Absolutely. And the thing, you know, as you say, and I just want to kind of emphasize so that people understand what that list of names that you very briefly went down. And that's not even the full, you know, you just named some of those 22. That is 22 athletes who've played at least one NHL game just this season, not the past four seasons or however many it's been. So the number is much larger even than 22. So it's hard Correct. For me when I see people on social media hounding, it's, oh, Lefebvre's got to go. Oh, he's got, you know, he's one playoff appearance in 5 years and blah, blah. Great. If that's what you want to hang your hat on, then I don't know that we're going to get through to you. But developing players, A, takes time. B, takes a very special skill set from the coaching staff. C, is not about taking a player and immediately making them into an NHL superstar. It takes, there's a very small fraction of athletes, professional hockey players, who make it to the NHL, and there's even a smaller fraction of that who become superstars in the National Hockey League. So if you're gonna hinge how successful someone has been in developing players based on how big the name is, well, you're gonna be disappointed wherever you look around the league, because you know, it's just statistically not going to happen that way, you know, and that's kind of what we started to hear with the Nikita Sherbak talk this week, that, you know, these are the same people who for the last 2 or 3 years have been telling us we're full of baloney, that he was ever going to amount to anything to begin with. Now, suddenly they're on board with that, but now it's, oh, well, he's the only one who's been developed. What people need to remember and understand that development, yes, it's about improving your hockey skills. It's about getting you ready to play in the NHL. But it's also about building a player's confidence. That takes time. Putting them in positions to succeed. That takes good coaching both at the AHL level, but it also means that they need to have good coaching at the NHL level as well. They need to have mistakes explained to them. They need to be guided and advised on how to improve things in their game. They have to be reminded that it's not going to happen overnight, and they have to put the hard work in, and then it's eventually going to pay off. And someone has to encourage them the whole way, especially when you have guys that, you know, there's plenty of players on this team and on every franchise in the NHL who play the get called up and sent back down game constantly. That takes a toll on a player's mental outlook of themselves, their confidence, their game, and it's the coaches that have to be there to keep their head in it and tell them it's all part of the process. You know, I highly commend Sylvain Lefebvre and his entire staff, Donald Dufresne, Nick Carrier, Marco Marciano, for the work that they do, and we see it. And we hear about it from the players when they constantly say, yeah, coach has been helping me with this. Coach has been helping me with that. Donal has been helping me with this, you know, and Nick's really been helping me with that. They're very involved and they care very deeply about what happens with their players. Period. End of story. I mean, it's about more than what fans think is just on the surface of development in the AHL. All right, well, we're going to move on now over to some AHL news. Just some brief things to touch on. Of course, we have the CCM AHL Player of the Week. It's a goaltender this week. It's Grand Rapids Griffins netminder Jared Kuroe. He had 2 starts last week and he had consecutive shutouts in both. He had 28 saves in a 1-0 victory over the Manitoba Moose on Thursday. And then on Saturday made 38 stops in a 5-0 win. I believe that was also against Manitoba. So, some nice goaltending for Grand Rapids. He was, he actually, of course, was on the Calder Cup winning Griffin's team in 2016-17, and he's currently tied for third in the AHL in wins at 20-10-4 in 36 appearances. So doing pretty well for himself, but he made it with 2 consecutive shutouts. He is the CCM AHL Player of the Week. That's Jared Kuroe of the Grand Rapids Griffins.
And the Griffins themselves have, speaking of streaks, they've been on a bit of a streak themselves, having not lost in regulation in their last 11 games. So they've made a big jump in the standings and solidified their playoff spot in the Central Division.
Nice. Like to see, it's going to be interesting as we get down the stretch here. Some exciting news. I know that we just we just finished, not even a month ago, just finished the 2018 AHL All-Star Classic in Utica. It was a fantastic weekend. And this year, unlike last year, where it took them a little while to whittle down who was going to be hosting the 2018 event, Dave Andrews, president of the AHL, had mentioned when we were all in Utica that there were three candidates vying for the hosting duties for the 2019 event, and they have already come to a decision and made the announcement that it will be the Springfield Thunderbirds who will be hosting the 2009 AHL All-Star Classic. That will be January 27th to 28th, 2019. And it's interesting to see a bit of a pattern that's emerging here. The Springfield Thunderbirds and MGM Springfield have been selected as the hosts. MGM is currently in the process of building a downtown Springfield casino, which is slated to open later on this summer. And so, like they did in Utica, where Turning Stone Casino Resort was the home base outside of the rink, it was the home base for all of the activities, the festivities, the events, and those types of things. It looks like the MGM Springfield, a brand new casino resort, is going to be the hub for all of the activity outside of the actual on-ice events in Springfield as well. And so that should be, it should be a lot of fun. The players and the fans both seem to like how things were set up in Utica this year that way. So it looks like Springfield's going to capitalize on that as well. And this will be the 25th year for the AHL All-Star Classic. It's the 25th anniversary since it was reintroduced in 1995. And Springfield hasn't hosted it since, I believe, 1959 was the last time Springfield hosted an All-Star Showcase. So should be a lot of fun. We will see everyone in Massachusetts for sure.
And we were in Springfield in November for David Ortiz night, and they did a real nice job in that special event in the game preparation.
The place was sold out.
It was a sellout. Yeah, that's right. It did a great job in bringing fans out to, and all the events around that David Ortiz night. It was a great event. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was. I'm very much looking forward to seeing them host the All-Star Weekend. Tickets for that are actually already on sale, believe it or not. So if you head to springfieldthunderbirds.com/all-star, you can start reserving tickets there. Preferential priority is going to go to Springfield Thunderbird season ticket holders for next season. But hey, they're selling tickets already, so it looks like it's going to be. Don't wait till the moral of the story here is don't wait till the last minute. If you want to go, make sure you put it on the calendar and get some tickets reserved. I know that Rick has mentioned that he's going to meld two of his favorite segments this week, but I do have just not so much a where are they now, but just a hey, we know that name. Former St. John's Ice Cap Gabriel Dumont, currently with the Ottawa organization, was just placed on waivers today. I think he just came back from IR. Was placed on waivers today, so it'll be interesting to see if he ends up in Belleville in time for this weekend's matchup between the Rocket and the Senators, or if someone picks him up. Who knows? So just that little tidbit out there. And I guess that brings us to the top five for this week, which is courtesy of Rick Stevens, top five hockey names. So this week, you're the one who came up with the top five category.
Yeah.
And remember, we want to hear everyone else's top five. We got to hear Joe Whalen's top five last week, and it was really good having some more content there. So we want to hear yours as well. Be sure to tweet us at the AHL Report or send us a message on Facebook. Let us know what your top five hockey names are. But I imagine, okay, so you came up with the category this week. Do you, is it a rhetorical question for me to ask if you have rules and regulations and guidelines and disclaimers? And because I know I do. I think my honorable mention, and well, there's this whole, it's longer than my actual top five, but I'll let you, this is your category this week, so I cede the floor.
Well, I feel I would disappoint people if I didn't have, yes, I have some honorable mentions, and I'll get to that, but the exclusions. And with this one, the exclusions were important because there was just too many, there's too many good names. There's too many names to bring up. And you'll notice that some of my, in my top five, there's a kind of combination or multiple names, but so my exclusion, and this doesn't have to apply to you. I'm just going to restrict myself. I'm restricting, unfortunately, I should say, I'm restricting myself to NHL names.
Okay.
And that's really unfortunate because there's some of my favorite, some really, really good names that are not in the NHL, haven't been in the NHL. And one we've mentioned earlier this season, and that is none other than Wacy Rabbit. Good old Wacy Rabbit.
Good old Wacy Rabbit.
is played in the ECHL for the Jacksonville Icemen, and he part of this season he played in Jacksonville. He's over in the Czech League now. But yes, he doesn't qualify because not an NHL player. You know what's interesting though?
Just what's
that? I looked up where Wacy is now and found that he's in the Czech League. Do you know he has a cousin Otis? Who plays
Otis
hockey?
Rabbit.
Yes. Actually has two cousins who play hockey, Otis and Reagan.
Reagan Rabbit and Otis Rabbit.
And Wacy Rabbit are all hockey players. Yeah. They could have been the top five list all. But two other names I couldn't get in because I restricted myself to NHL names. Two great names, really great names. Look to the Victoria Royals of the WHL, and you're going to find none other than Griffin Outhouse. Griffin Outhouse is one of the great, great hockey names, and I can squeeze him into my list. And the Montreal Canadiens in 2014, sixth-round pick, drafted none other than Hayden Hockey. Hayden Hockey, who's actually having a pretty good season, not a pretty good season, a very good season with Providence College, but Hayden Hockey, H-A-W-K-E-Y, is another great name. But none of those can be part of my, those are my exclusions. We'll get on to the honorable mentions, but I understand you have a couple of those too, so you can go ahead.
Well, I have some honorable mentions, and then I also have like a separate category of, and we may just have to do a whole separate top five of hockey names that just make you laugh. So I have names that just make you laugh that I just couldn't put on my top five hockey names. I won't go through all of them. This is a family show. But I will say that things like Bill Quackenbush is on that list. He played from 1942 to 1956, and Quackenbush is literally like an Americanized translation from Dutch to mean swamp wilderness, I learned, which I think that makes his name even funnier.
Now, if he played on the Anaheim Ducks.
Bill Quackenbush of the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, come on. No, he played for Detroit and Boston. But, you know, included in this category are guys like Cliff Poo. I mean, come on. Cliff Poo, Pear Juice. Pear Juice.
Uh-huh.
How do you how do you get through a broadcast calling play-by-play for Pear Juice? I mean, you know, Tony Twist. Come on. Tony Twist. Lance Pitlick. Lance Pitlick. Harry Dick, okay, I can't go any further down that.
Quiet now.
I just can't go any further down that line, but you all know where I could go with those names. So that's, I think we're going to leave that for a different day. That's going to be a separate category. altogether. So aside from that, yes, I have three honorable mentions, two of which to me are just classic hockey names that just exude hockey greatness, and that is Saku Koivu and Teemu Selänne. Not only just fantastic names to say and to pronounce and to see, but just also just exude really high levels of the sport. At the opposite end of that is Tommy Wingles. Because I have this thing, for whatever reason, A, why does it have to be Tommy? Can it not be Tom at this point? So whenever I hear
Thomas Wingles, no, it doesn't work. I'm sorry.
It doesn't work. So whenever I hear Tommy Wingles, like in my head, I put the word like little in front of him, like little Tommy Wingles, because he just sounds like that little Tommy Wingles kid that's annoying down the street, you know? Like, so I'm sorry, Tommy Wingles. I don't mean to call you little Tommy Wingles, but I have to every time I hear your name. So those are my honorable mentions.
Well, for honorable mentions, I made a category here for the most mispronounced names.
Mm.
And for the first one, I'm going to pick on our friends in the U.S. broadcast booths, the play-by-play announcer. I have never heard so many different pronunciations of Nathan Beaulieu.
Oh, my goodness. It's Boilu,
Bolo,
didn't you know?
Yeah,
Boilu.
Bolo. Yeah, all is terrible. And
it's not that hard.
No, it's not. But equally, if you've ever listened to, an RDS or TVI or the old Radio Canada broadcasts, our friends in the French broadcasting booth cannot have real difficulty with Russian names and butcher them constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And the one that they actually just changed his name. It was Vladimir Malakhov, who was a defenseman for the Canadians. And they just said Malarov the whole time. It's Malarov. And they just changed his name to Malarov.
It's just so, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. So, yes, my honorable mention goes out to our they give you a pronunciation guide, but it seems to be tossed in the trash and for many players, and they come up with their own little ways of pronouncing names.
Hmm. All righty then.
Mentions.
So that brings us to top five, where we're actually getting into like some top five hockey names. And this isn't necessarily like the best hockey names, or it's just kind of like just these are the top for today. It's our top five hockey names.
Right.
I'm going to start at number five. And again, I think this name could be in conjunction with a whole slew of names that are just unfortunate hockey names, I guess you could say. This is a gentleman that played for the Binghamton Whalers. The last team he played for was the Binghamton Whalers in 1983. And his name was Larry Goodenough. He wasn't Larry Great. He wasn't Larry Horrible. He was just Larry Goodenough.
And good enough.
He was good enough. I just find that to be, I don't know, I kill myself laughing every time I hear that, because it's just an unfortunate, like, you don't want to ever just be good enough. But he is. He's just good enough.
Well, there was Bob Goodenough, who was the president of the NHLPA there for a while.
Oh, I wonder if they're related.
Whether he was good enough for that role, I don't know.
I don't know. God, the puns could go on forever. All right, who's your number five?
Number five, again, I have a category, and that's names easy to make fun of.
Okay.
So I would put Jordan Tutu.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of ballet references. Ryan DeZingle. In that category. Patrick What a Maroon in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Who happens to be number four on the TSN trade bait list, if we're talking.
I was actually going to say, I just saw there's some chatter today that they're trying to dangle him for a first round pick.
DeZingle him for a, yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
And you know, I'll take your little Tommy Wingles and I'll throw him in that category
too.
Just add him to that category. But names that and growing up, it must have been. I congratulate them for getting through childhood with those names and becoming a professional hockey player.
Right. Absolutely. All right, my number four is kind of, as you've categorized, my number four is kind of a category as well of just names that just sound like hockey. And there's only, I picked out three examples. I could list 20, but I picked out three. Boone Jenner is one of them. Like, come on, Boone Jenner, that's a hockey name. Like, Boone Jenner, what else is he going to play? Honestly. And from the USA, from the young USA hockey, Mikey Anderson and Joey Anderson, again, why do we have to stay with the, why is it not Mike Anderson and Joe Anderson, but Mikey Anderson and Joey Anderson? I mean, what else would they possibly play other than hockey, right? That's my number four.
Well, it's funny because my number four is cool names or hockey names as well. I've got Boone Jenner in there as well.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, now that's weird.
It is. But I've got a couple of different ones. Doogie Hamilton. Doogie Hamilton just sounds like a hockey player. And the other guy is a broadcaster's dream in Johnny Oduya.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Oduya. Yeah, that's a cool hockey name, especially for broadcasters. So,
very much.
There's a little bit of an agreement there.
Okay, so we're going to continue on with number three. There might be a change in my sound here as I had to change some things. We're having just some technical, you know, things happen in the world of podcasting, technical difficulties, but back here for number three. I have to say, my number three, not only a very cool name, but when you would see this name on the nameplate on the back of a jersey, I mean, it's just badass. Like, it's just really, I mean, Miroslav Satan just looks like Satan is out there on the ice. I mean, very cool name to get, Miroslav Satan, but it's the nameplate on the back of that jersey. I mean, it's a pretty daunting name to have out there on the ice.
And he was pretty good at carving up his opponents with his sticks. So
yes, he was. So that's my number three.
That's a good one. For my number three, my category for number three is names that are fun to say. And you being a voice actor, you use your voice, and it's something I used to do. And there are just words that are that feel good in your mouth. That's what this category is all about. You mentioned Teemu Selänne. That certainly would fit in this category as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the three that I have are Teuvo Teravainen.
Oh yeah,
it's just fun to say. Jesse Puljujärvi,
yep.
Another one, just fun to say. And Jyrki Jokapäkä. is just a great name to say. It just feels very good to say. So. That's my number three is fun names to say.
Well, my number two kind of goes along with that. I love alliteration in names, and especially some of the European names get that a lot. Jyrki Jokapäkä, that's right in the Toivo Teravainen. A lot of them have that. So my number two is a pair of names that use the alliteration that I just think are fantastic hockey names. Zarly Zalapski is one of them. And Wojtek Bolski is the other.
Absolutely.
And I mean, go ahead, for non-hockey people, try to spell Wojtek Bolski, first of all. I guarantee you're going to get it wrong. I'm a professional voice actor, and so, you know, I can only imagine, you know, when Bolski came into the league and broadcasters were starting to get
roster pronunciation guide, looking at this guy's name going, how in God's name do you say that? But great hockey names. He and Zarly Zalapsky. Just very fun use of alliteration, and just very fun to say.
Number two, I could not forget about goaltenders, so I had to get in a goaltender somewhere on my list. And the one that I picked was Nikolai Habibulin.
Oh, yes.
Known as the Bulin Wall. Played for the Winnipeg, the original Winnipeg Jets. He was a ninth round pick of the Jets, and played with the Jets in their final season, what would be their final season in Winnipeg, 95-96, before the Jets moved to Phoenix and became the Coyotes, and took them to the playoffs. There, Tamo Solani was on that team. I think he was traded midway through the season to Anaheim. Eddie Olczyk, now a broadcaster, was on that team. Teppo Numminen, another great name. Alexei Zhamnov, and Keith Tkachuk, dad of Matthew and Brady. So Nikolai Habibulin, I enjoyed watching him play, and I enjoy his name a lot.
Absolutely. Well, if any of our listeners are regular listeners to our podcast, they will already know what my number one hockey name is, because I have said this name this season, and I have mentioned that this name is one of my favorite names in hockey, because it is just so fun to say.
All right.
Now, you're a frequent listener, since you are here co-hosting every week. Do you remember what name
I'm,
is?
I'm here. I don't know how often I listen. No.
Do you recall?
Was it Marty Baron?
No, it's not Marty Baron.
You leave him
out of this. You know, and of course, Marty Baron, side note, Marty Baron, Amy's favorite player in the fan world of hockey. And of course, he gets inducted into the Rochester Americans Hall of Fame this past week in Rochester. And couldn't,
were you there?
They couldn't wait to do it for a week or so from now, when the Laval Rocket are going to be in Rochester. Darn. Anyway,
that's a
no,
shame.
It is.
That's a real
it
shame.
It is a shame. Darn it. It is. No, my number one, you'll remember as soon as you hear it, my favorite hockey name to date, today, currently, is a goaltender from Finland by the name of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And see, you remember now. I mentioned Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen towards the beginning of the season of the podcast, because he was one of the Finnish goaltenders at the World Junior Summer Showcase that we covered in Michigan. And I just loved every time he played, because he's one, I cannot just call him Luukkonen. I have to, anytime I say his name, I have to say the full name. I have to say Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, because it just rolls off the tongue so nicely. It's, oh, who's in goal? Oh, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is in goal today.
How do you even know where the first name ends and the last name begins? It's 'cause, so that's the reason you have to say the whole name.
Well, you know, there's some hyphens in there and some spaces, so you get a good feel for where one ends and where the other begins. But but yeah, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I previewed that. That's a good one. Earlier in the season. So that's my number one.
Well, my number one, and he's also going to be a mini kind of where are they now. And I haven't spoken of him. I haven't said his name on the broadcast, but my number one name, hockey name, is Håkan Lube.
Oh, yes.
Wipe off my microphone here.
Yes.
Håkan Lube was, it's going to make me laugh every time I say it now. He was a player in kind of mid-80s with the Calgary Flames, and a ninth round pick of the Flames, and they lured him to come over. His sons, Nicholas Lube and Henrik Lube also play hockey.
Oh my.
As well as his brothers Peter Lube, Jan Lube, and Anders Lube.
Come on now.
So yes, Swedish hockey player, the diminutive kind of guy, and was the first Swede to ever accomplish scoring 50 goals in the NHL. And that came in the 87-88 season. 50 goals, 56 assists for 106 points, unheard of these days. And he was kind of the Mats Naslund of, if you want a comparison, the Mats Naslund of the Calgary Flames. He had that same Jofa helmet. But prolific goal scorer and set up guy. And now after he left the NHL, he went back and played for Farstad, who he had been playing with before he came. He returned to Sweden and even left some money on the table. The Flames wanted him to continue, and he wanted his sons to grow up in Sweden. So he went back, played again for Farstad, and then more recently became the general manager and now is president of hockey operations for Farstad. And where do we know Farstad from? A couple different places. Farstad, we were talking about the All-Star Game earlier. Back when St. John's hosted the All-Star Game, at Mile High, in 2014, it was a different setup. They had the AHL All-Stars versus Farstad. Farstad came over and participated in the All-Star, which they had a skills competition and then a game. And the AHL beat Farstad 7-2 to win that All-Star game. But more recently, Morgan Ellis, one of our favorites.
Oh, that's
back
right.
He's playing for Farstad.
That's right, he is.
Under President of Operations, Håkan Lube.
Because he was playing for Skellefteå, right? And has now switched over?
Yeah, that's right. Morgan Ellis, yes.
Morgan Ellis was, yeah.
And Håkan Lube is a bit of a legend in Sweden, because as a young youth member in Sweden, he was one of the top ranked ping pong players in Sweden. Yeah, so he had this terrible choice of having to either go professionally into ping pong or hockey, and it appears he chose wisely.
A tough decision to make.
Right. And now the Swedish Elite League, because he was such a prolific goal scorer, and they have their trophy for the top goal scorer each year is the Håkan Lube. You are presented.
Oh my.
With the Håkan Lube.
Do you have to accept it?
Trophy for winning the goal scoring as top goal scorer.
Can you politely decline?
No, thanks. No.
Oh, good. Thanks.
He's one of those guys. Listen, I mean, he just has a fun name to say and making fun, but he's a very accomplished NHL career and international career. As he's one of those guys who is part of the, they call it the triple gold club, in that he's won a Stanley Cup at the NHL, he's won a world championship, and he's won an Olympic gold medal.
Wow.
Triple gold player. So, yeah, I couldn't just mention Håkan Lube as one of my favorite names in the top five. I also had to do a bit of Where Are They Now? And just for those who may not be familiar with the Håkan Lube trophy in Sweden, had to do a bit of the background.
Well, that is fantastic. And that is our top five hockey news. Of we want to, of course, hear yours as well. Be sure to tweet us at the AHL Report or hit us up on Facebook. Send us an email. Let us know what your – because there are plenty of hockey names out there that we didn't hit on. Maybe some of yours are the same as ours, but I would bet that a lot of you have some different names that you really like, whether they're classic hockey names or they're fun to say or they're silly and goofy or whatever the case may be. Give us your top five list. We would love to hear it, and we would love to share it with everyone who's following us on social media and our listeners as well. Rick, thanks
so much.
We're
going to get a lot of votes for Ron Stackhouse. I'm real sure about that.
Oh, I'm sure. I bet. We'll have to run a poll.
Yeah.
This has been a great episode. Thank you so much for joining me yet again, co-hosting it again for our 21st episode of From the Press Box. Be sure to tune into all of our other podcasts here at Rux Sports Radio. We, of course, have Filtered, Have a Listen, and as I mentioned earlier, Habs 360, our live Montreal Canadiens-based podcast every Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern. That's hosted by Rick and Chris G. So be sure to check out all of our other podcast options and offerings. There's something for everyone, and every podcast is different on Rocket Sports Radio. That's one of the things that makes our team so unique. You won't find much in the way of overlap. You'll get lots of original content and opinions and analysis and so forth on all four of our programs. And, of course, be sure to follow along with us this weekend as we report live from Utica for the Comet versus the Rocket on Friday night. And, of course, we'll have full coverage between myself and Whalen for the Rocket versus Belleville Senators game on Saturday night. And you can find us all at the AHL Report. You can find Rick at All Habs on Twitter. And you can find me personally at Flyers Rule on Twitter. And until then, we will keep you updated on everything happening with the Laval Rocket and around the league until we meet you back here next week, next Tuesday, for another great edition of From the Press Box. Till then, have a great week.